started here. We'll see where this goes. Father, it's good to gather with your people. It's good to be in your presence together and to worship you together, love you together, and just pray that you would bless our time together this morning as we continue to think about some of the more practical day-to-day things in dealing with our kids. And help us to have wisdom and help us to be thought out in these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Been having some trouble with my hearing lately. And I went to the hearing aid lady and she kind of messed with my stuff. So we'll get there. All right. We are continuing to look at training our children to become wise, responsible, godly adults. We're looking at developmental activities, and we've looked at work, education, and we've been talking about recreational type things the last few weeks. And I've tightened up this outline just a little bit, just want to still bring our heads back into some thoughts about recreation. And from a big picture standpoint, recreation is the default mode your kids will tend to operate in. It's the thing your kids naturally do without you even having to say anything or do anything. Not to say they're going to do good recreation, but they will do some kind of recreation 90% of the time. And so you have to recognize that recreation can be a problem area for your kids, but not all recreation is bad. There are bad types of recreation. There is also recreation is okay, but too much of it becomes bad because of the relative importance of other things. If you spend all your time having fun and games, then that's not a good thing. However, recreation can be fun and an effective way for kids to develop skills and learn things. So those are the two things we're trying to balance in each of the different areas that we've looked at so far. We started off looking at sports. We spent a week on that. Last week, we spent a week on music. And this week, we're going to look at games. So, and that may be as far as we get, even if we get down a little bit early today, just because the audio-video area has to be a sort of a self-contained thing. But that's one thing we'll look at. We'll also look at vacations and day trips. So, let's take a look at games. Games are a really fun way for you and your family to spend time together and develop the positive side of your relationship. There are many games that help and motivate kids to learn things while they're having a good time. I can think of a few off the top of my head, and I'll get some of your suggestions here in a minute. But and some of my games are probably more old school. You know, you may have some more up-to-date games that are even better, and they seem to keep coming out with more and more creative type games that people play. I'm always amazed at some of the things that people get involved in. But we have games that were, one of them was called, this is one you probably don't know that much about, it's called Personal Preference. And you go around and you put a bunch of things on the table, like it has a type of food or a type of sport or a type of this or that, and you try to guess what the people around the table, how they would rank those in terms of their favorite to their least favorite. And the thing about that is first of all, it gives you the ability to find out what people are really thinking. A lot of times you're surprised that one of your kids likes sauerkraut, or somebody's a real fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers, or whatever, you know, or somebody. It could be anything. The other thing is just the ability to try to get your mind outside yourself and put your mind into how somebody else thinks and looks at things. And that was always really interesting to do. One of my favorite games, actually, and not one that's very well known. But if you get a chance to look it up, I recommend it. But we played some games. This one is a real noisy one called Liar's Dice. You remember that, Martin? Martin, I think, introduced us to it. And what you're doing is you're making moves based on the odds of what's going to come out on the board. I'm being kind of vague here. But basically, if you're good at math and you're good at calculating odds, you will win that game hands down most of the time. And so it teaches how to calculate odds, how to figure things out. When I was a young man, my favorite game was chess. That's an old game, ancient. And I think to this day I'm still playing chess when I go to work because I'm a computer programmer. And chess is all about, you know, thinking through the logic. I mean, things can only go certain ways in chess. One of the things I loved about chess, there's nothing random about chess. There was no rolling of any dice or spinning of any wheels. It is what it is. It's there. But the thing is, the possibilities are so vast, and you have to think through such a great degree, you know, what's going on. It really develops your mind to get into sort of a problem-solving mode, the ability to strategically figure things out, and so forth. So I could go on. I mean, there's just other types of games. My wife likes games that involve words. Some of you may like that. Of course, there's always, you know, the old school Scrabble. There's another one we came up recently with, I think it's called Hugger Mugger. It's kind of a funny name, but it involves unscrambling words, knowing definitions of words. And Sandy just aces that game. In fact, for the longest time, I wouldn't even play it. I'm like, forget it. You're just going to wipe us out. But then recently I relented on one of our getaways. I said, you know, I'll play that game with you. I know you're good at it. You're probably gonna wipe me out like you usually do, but let's just play it. Have fun. And I got in there and won. I'm like, whoa. But usually not. You know, when you play a game like that against somebody who does this scramble or every day in the newspaper and figures out all the words, you know, they're gonna be good at that. So again, developing skills, grammatical skills, definitional skills, what have you. So I say consider scheduling a regular family game night that everyone can look forward to. This is just area liberty. You don't have to do this, obviously. But we did it. We would have sometimes one or two game nights, and everybody just looked forward to it. That night. We all sit around and play whatever the family game was at that point and just have a good time together. And some of the games were developmental. Some were just fun being together. So what are some games that you believe are fun and or helpful that you'd like to recommend that we play with our family? I just threw a bunch out there that I'm familiar with. How about you guys? You guys are more up to speed, I'm sure. Yeah, Natalie.
These are really old games, and I don't actually know if they sell it anymore. But it's a game that's called Boob and Louie. And it's a game.
What is it called?
Loop and Louie.
Loop and Louie?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, doing loops in there.
Okay.
So Zoe actually really likes this, and my parents have it, so we play it sometimes somewhere at their house. But you have these paddles, and in the center of the game, you have this revolving machine that has an arm on it with a little airplane, and the little guy sitting in the airplane, that's Louie.
Okay.
And so you turn it on, and it starts going around, and Louie falls, and you have to try to keep him from knocking down your chickens in a little row. It's hilarious. I mean, and Zoe absolutely loves it, because it's just, I mean, you know, she loses almost every time, but it's just a matter of, like, keeping Louie from knocking down your chickens, so you use the paddle to hit him over your chickens and try to get somebody else's chickens, and it's hilarious, and I still enjoy playing it now.
So that sounds like sort of an eye-hand coordination kind of thing, and maybe some humor mixed in.
Yeah, but it's just a lot of fun, and I think it's one that Zoe ends up, like, liking to play, which is always fun to find something that we can play with her.
The pertinent question is, how much space does the box take to store it between families?
Yeah.
Not too bad.
I mean, it breaks down. Mm-hmm. You take the paddles off and the chickens out.
That's funny.
It's gonna be Amazon Rush for Luke and Louie.
We were playing dominoes.
Oh yeah.
My grandparents, everybody played. I still lost and can't figure out 42. I just never could get into that, but just learn how to, you know, count, especially by mm-hmm. fives. You know.
So you played out with Jayden? Yeah. No.
He played some. Yeah.
Does he really?
He's a little bit more still chicken foot than.
Yeah, he likes chicken foot.
Really?
Total, I thought I'd say, but. Because he can match the numbers and he can.
He's slow to count them, but he, you know, he'll just count the dots on the end, you know.
But one of the things I love about dominoes is it helps, like, a five is always going to look the same on a domino. Like, it's going to be the same things and the one dot in the middle, and then kind of recognizing, oh, that's five.
Yeah.
You don't have to, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good. I mean, when I was his age, the only thing I knew to do with dominoes was to line them all up and then knock one over and go. We've all done that before. But yeah, I didn't even realize until I got older there was actually a game you could play with the thing. I thought that's what they were made for, just to knock them all over. And we set them all up real carefully and have them go all the way down the hall and into the next room. And, you know, that could be fun. I don't know how totally helpful that was. That didn't keep me out of my mom's hair for a while. But, yeah, that's great. If he can get into the numbers and start processing at that level, that's fantastic.
There's two kind of distinct kind of types of games. There's a game that requires skill.
Yes.
And so obviously that's going to be age appropriate, you know, like the words. Like Jason can play any game that has to spell out words really. Yes. And then there's those luck games. So, you know, you roll a dice and, you know, it's like shoots and ladders. It's completely luck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Anybody can win. It doesn't matter. You know, if you can roll a dice, then you're good. So I was thinking about, like, so there's two different, you know, so those luck ones can be, you know, a lot more lighthearted and fun, unless you have a competitive child that gets upset that they can't win. you know, so, like, I don't know. I was just kind of thinking through, because games is huge. It encompasses a lot of things, but, like, we would probably have to choose a game that's not too competitive for a family night at this point, something that's more just for fun. Things like Simon said that requires no prep.
Okay, yeah. I used to get frustrated by luck in games when I was a kid because I liked the purity of chess, you know. But, you know, somebody pointed out to me that life has a lot, I mean, you call it luck or sovereignty of God or whatever, we know what's behind all that, but there's a lot of things in life you have to deal with what you're handed, mm-hmm. and you never know what you're going to get handed. And so games that combine some skill with some luck or whatever you want to call it, it's probably more realistic. I just, like I said, I love the purity of having a total problem-solving mode where no outside forces can enter in. But it's good to learn to deal with those things. What's that?
Yahtzee.
Yahtzee, yeah. Yeah, that is a good one. Yeah,
we
Yeah, that's good. Martin, I know you're the master gamesman. I can't believe you're just sitting there quiet, not saying a thing. We learned half our games from you.
I was trying to think about some of the things that you were talking about and how I would relate some of them. I think one of the best examples I had is I had a 12-year-old with me for a while, and super sharp kid. Didn't matter what you put in front of him, sooner or later, he would master it. Spent a little time with him. I got to spend a summer with him once. The problem was that I figured out pretty quickly is that some of the things that it took some thinking, if he hadn't done it before, his parents would teach him what he needed to know. So really, he had no clue how to figure out things on his own. So we spent some time, and I got some other games that he was not interested in. Some of these, most of these were computer games. That seems to be how they're being raised nowadays. But so I got some that were fairly complicated, and I would help him figure it out. But I'd make him stay at it. And we'd sit there. I might coach him a little bit, but I wouldn't give him the answers.
Okay.
And it really taught him. One of the things that happened is it taught him he has to figure things out on his own. He's not going to be able to deal with issues that come up. Schoolwork was easy for him. There was no challenge there in any of his classes.
Mm-hmm.
So patience was the thing he really needed to learn.
Okay.
And it ended up doing that. But we finally ended up going outside too, because he wasn't spending a lot of time being physical.
Yeah.
So we got into a game called Frisbee Golf. He'd watched Frisbees. He loved to throw Frisbees, but wasn't any good at it. Boy, he could get angry over that. So it just took time to spend time with him, teaching him that hard work, patience usually pays off. That took a long time, but did pay off. And it seemed like he had a whole different demeanor in things after that summer, where he didn't want help. He wanted to figure it out on his own, and he would stay at it because he did not like to be behind in anything. So that's one of the things that I enjoyed in that particular situation.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. So yeah, you're basically using it as a kind of a character building thing, teaching that you know, you need to solve problems, don't wait for somebody to come along and help you, have patience, those kinds of things. So even, I mean, games, as trivial as they are at one level, it's kind of like, there's a lot of crossover here between games and sports. I almost wanted to put them together because, in a sense, you're playing game when you're playing sports, but I still saw it as kind of in a slightly different category, especially you mentioned video games, and we're going to look at that next. I wanted to deal with the board games first, so I just thought that merited a separate discussion.
I think I agree.
So, what about the Shepherds? Did you guys play games as a family or whatever?
Boys have multiple war eras of Risk.
Oh yeah, I love that game. Yeah. What's y'all's favorite game?
I think cards.
You ever play a lot of cards like Gin Rummy and all
that? What? Any particular one? Card game?
I like Gestures, a big board game.
What is it?
Gestures.
Gestures.
Taboo and Gestures are kind of similar.
Okay.
Fluctuates, kind of a thing with the buzzer and.
Okay. All right. I mean, it's just something, you know, we almost overdid it in a sense. I've got the reel for a while there, and I'm still kind of barely getting over it. Like, we play so many games when the kids were younger. When they all come home, they want to play games again. Like, I don't know, I'm burned out. That's just too bad. But because it can be really helpful still, even when your kids get older.
Well. Because he was doing one that was like, he was trying to get us to guess the word pal or buddy.
Oh, yeah?
And so he was like, had his arm around his pal and was patting his head. And so we couldn't figure out what it was. We kept thinking it was body odor or something. And so we just kept, I mean, we just made fun of him a lot. So he didn't play that very much with us after that. But it's one of my fondest memories of my dad. You know, it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
Because games are such a big deal in our house, we would get one every year for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
It would just be a family gift, and so we'd, you know, play that one for a while, and then we'd get another one, you know, the next year. So it's always been a big part of my family.
Yeah. So. I think rightfully so. Like I said, I think it can be very helpful. I'd be hard-pressed to say you have to do this, but I think it serves a really good purpose in many ways, as we've heard even from some of y'all's stories.
Classic Monopoly.
Yeah, oh yeah, Monopoly. My brothers and sisters and I, we just like totally grew up on Monopoly. We would play that every Saturday, all day. Yeah, love that one.
Another game that's on the place, Pictionary.
Pictionary, oh yeah, oh my. Yeah, try and draw out the whatever, find out how good of an artist you have in the family. Or you know, it's not even necessarily how good of an artist you are, but how well you're able to simplify an idea pictorially and get it across to the group, you know. It's just a lot of skills there. Well, let me just take a quick look at video games, because this is another huge area. In the previous section, like I said, I had basically have board games in mind. Video games are another huge area in the modern world to deal with. In some ways, they've almost taken over. But I still think, as we're hearing from you guys, we still play board games. But video games have moved in a big way. I mean, when I was really young, we didn't have video games. And then I got exposed to them when I got a little older and they came into being. I think the closest we got was I used to go down to the arcade and play pinball, which is kind of like a video game in a way. And they would have some of the different games and stuff like that. You remember some of that, or you may not. And I'd be like, what's that? Okay. Like board games, there's some great video games out there that can be very helpful to our kids. Again, I'm going to probably give away my age here, maybe. I don't know. There were a bunch of games, like there was sim games, simulation games. Sim City, you know, where you would, like, the kids could build an entire city, and it would be a functioning city or not, depending on how well you build it. And I think it was Sim, all kind of things. I forget all the different categories they had. You guys familiar with this? And And that was pretty instructive. I mean, it got you into the details of building a city or whatever it was you were simulating. And my kids could spend hours in that, and I thought they were pretty helpful kind of games to play. So there's also many video games out there that are very destructive, and I'm sure you're aware by now of that. Some of them basically are just a way to get pornography in front of the game player, basically. And some of them are very bad, so you need to be aware of those kinds of things. Some of them we may get into, you know, different sort of opinions as to how much you want to do or not do. A particular type of game, like our kids got into Dungeons and Dragons. I don't know if you've heard of that one. I just felt like it was too much symbolism from the occult involved, and I didn't like it. And I just said, nah, we're not doing that one. And I got a lot of flack on that one. There are parents, probably Christian parents, that say, ah, just fantasy, don't worry about it. Maybe. I personally didn't like it, so I kept my kids from getting involved in that. I just felt like I didn't like the direction it took their minds on some things, but those are areas where you make individual judgments. And then there's quite a few video games out there that are not particularly helpful, but not particularly harmful, other than they can be big time wasters if your kid spends too much time playing them. So sometimes it's not even so much the content of the game, it's just how much time they end up spending playing video games, because it can be very consuming. And you can have a kid that does nothing but sit around and play video games all day long, and you may feel like, yeah, it gets them out of my hair, but that's not good if it goes on to a large extent, because you're losing opportunity to parent. You're typically, boys especially, seem to get in that groove. I'm not saying girls are immune, they're not. But your boy or girl is going to miss out on a lot of important things in life if that's all they do, if they become imbalanced. But like I said, a lot of these games, I mean, and again, you can get into, like, I remember a lot of the games that my boys played, video game-wise. I said, it seemed like every game you guys play is walking up and down the hallway shooting somebody. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you're looking down a gun and boom, you know, the bad guy steps out, boom, you know. Now, some people would look at that and say, well, violence is bad. You should never have any violence in a video game. I don't go that far with it personally, and we can discuss it if you think we should, but because there are situations like somebody that's in the military, probably good that military people perform violence against bad guys or people in the police force or what have you. So you can be preparing a kid for that kind of thinking. Same time, I understand we don't want to encourage kids to go out and become violent in life, but I don't know if there's necessarily a connection between if you play a video game where you shoot bad guys and then you're going to go out in life and get a gun and shoot somebody. That typically doesn't happen. I know it does happen sometimes, but I think there's usually a whole lot more wrong in that situation than just the video games. So my thoughts on that, for what it's worth. Because video games can be harmful, I believe as much as possible, you as parents should make it a point to be aware of the kinds of video games your kids are playing. And I know it's a little bit harder today, especially if you buy your kid a phone or something, which maybe make you want to think about that. But at some point, once your kids get older, it become very difficult to monitor. But when my kids were younger, because we didn't have phones, we just had like the computer screen and the big computer, we put it in a central location, and everybody played with whatever they play with right out there in the open, where somebody could walk in the room at any time and walk behind you. And if you're playing something inappropriate or there's something going on that shouldn't be going on, you know, we were on it like that. And you know, we didn't go for this, go back in your room and close the door and do stuff in under the cover of darkness. Even though our kids weren't particularly into anything bad, as far as I know, I didn't want to let them get started. Just be aware. We live in a very kind of a very corrupt world, and with everything in our world, the technologies that come along can be of great value and help and good, and likewise, because of sin, they can be of great they can become very destructive and harmful. It just depends on what you do with them. And they're doing stuff now at virtual reality. How many of you have tried some of that on? Anybody? You know what I'm talking about? My my son, Josh, he's real into technical things already anyways. And he had us come over one time recently here, had the adults come over just to try this out. Well, you put these goggles on and you hook things up to your hands so that the game is aware of how you're moving, your arms, your legs, or what have you. And you're actually in a three-dimensional world walking around. I mean, it looks incredibly real. And, you know, you can get into a sword fight or something like that, you know, and it's and it's really amazing what you can do. There's a lot of potential for good there. We've been using simulations for a long time, like to train pilots. In fact, Josh worked for a company one time that they would put you in a room and you felt like you were flying an airplane and you would learn how to take off and land without actually endangering any yourself or any aircraft. That's a good thing. But as you can imagine, our sinful world is taking these things into a very negative direction. Think about the area of illicit sex and so forth. I mean, it's bizarre what people can do. So good and bad out there, and you've got to be aware. You've got to be able to balance it all. So I wanted to just kind of ask, what is your thinking about video games? I'll just fill your questions out here, and you can answer any or all or make up your own question if you want. excuse me. What are some video games that you believe are or could be eventually helpful to your kids? And why do you believe are helpful? So a game that you think your kid's playing now that you think is helpful, or maybe your kid's kind of young, but you know of a game that you think when he gets a little older or she gets a little older, you're gonna expose them to that because you think it'd be helpful. Do you believe there should be a limit to how much you let your kids play video games? It's almost a silly question, but I want to know, what do you think? And if so, how much is too much? And are there video games that you would not let your kids play? I'm looking for things you have specific knowledge of. Hopefully, if you knew what was out there, you would definitely say no to some games. But what are those games, and why would you prevent your kids from playing them? So I'm just trying to, I want to hear back from you. You guys are probably much more exposed to this kind of stuff than I am. I don't play video games. My kids do. Other than, you know, Josh invited me over for a session with a video, virtual reality, which was interesting, but I'm, you know, I'm not going to be doing that long term. That's just not for me. But what about y'all? Martin.
The only one I get involved with is the first one.
Is what?
It's the first one.
Okay. Oh, I got you. Yeah.
In and of themselves, I don't think there's anything wrong with video games.
Okay.
Now, I'm done.
Okay.
The rest of it, I have no experience
with. Well, and some, and I've said as much, basically, in the way I've laid out here, but I've also pointed out where at some point you would possibly need to draw lines, which you would agree with that, right?
I would get into the last one whenever we get there.
Okay, the last one being, there are ones you wouldn't let your kids play, or there are ones that you would see should be restricted from being played.
Okay, I guess it's not that one. It's the one that, how much time?
Oh, how much time, yeah. That's
that one I'll get involved in when we get there, I guess. Or you want my input now?
Sure.
Well,
sure.
Okay. One of the things that I guess I was raised under, and I don't know if it still applies today or not. I think it does, but it's in different ways. And that is that there was a little rule that I was raised in, which was the work comes first.
Yeah.
Play comes afterwards.
Yeah.
Now, my dad was very organized, I guess. We as kids had a lot of things to do. All three of us did. There were no options. We always did our work first. We always went to school. Our homework always came first. That was always work.
Those right.
types of things. Chores and all. Now, with me, it became a game. How well can I get things done? Obviously, there has to be it's got to be done right. A standard, if you want to call it that. It had to be done right. Homework had to be done right. You weren't allowed to rush it. That cost you. After that, whatever the free time I had was mine to use as I see fit. And that seemed to work well. It was what I was raised under. It worked for me, but I see a lot of different standards being applied, and I don't know that I have problems with most of those either. It's just that was the principle that I grew up under. It seemed to work extremely well. I carried it on today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great principle. I think I've referenced him before. Our summary of it was work first, play later.
Yeah.
You know, that was my mom had the same kind of approach to things. We had a lot of work to do. And the thing about the work she gave us, it took us a while. And you could get pretty good at it maybe, but I mean, it was going to, you had a lot to do, and that was okay. And
you know, I remember one of the things that you had in some of your previous classes, which were, to me, that was a motivation. I got good at those things so that I could do what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
It worked great for me. I see the overlap in my adult life, too. Now, where I got into trouble, just based on the way I'm made, is that I always found things to do, which kept me from doing other things that I could have done. And then it got to the point to where if you have such a work ethic that you find things to do, well, when do you get to relax? And there was a time that all 7 days were taken up that way. I found things to do, which I don't think that's the thing to do either.
So you're talking about finding work to do, and you feel like you should have a little more balance.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Now, that was way into my adult life, and it took a couple of people to slow me down a little bit, and I was kind of glad they did. It made life a whole lot more enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I kind of look at life that way, too, although we're listening to these biographies of great Christians from John Piper.
Yeah, I know.
And some of the, there are guys in history who, there was no space in their life for any recreation whatsoever. They worked from sunup to sunset. Their lives were at risk. And I'm not going to condemn those people and say they were bad people because they didn't take time to relax. But at the same time, I tend not to operate that way. For a lot of us, that would end up making us rather brittle, stressed people, and probably wouldn't be good for us, as I see it. Maybe I'm being too easy on myself. But
that's assuming that your work is hard and stressful and not enjoyable, when our work
should be fun,
should be,
and fulfilling.
Yeah, so if you enjoy what you're doing, whether it be called work or play, it's still enjoyable.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. I often tell them at my work that don't let the boss know, but I would actually do this for free. It's because I like it so much. I don't know if that's really true, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. I agree with you. And the idea of teaching kids that work can be fun and enjoyable and fulfilling. It is a sort of a fulfillment. Because the thing about video games, when you turn the power off, everything that happened in that video game is now gone. Other than maybe the remnant of your memory of it, I suppose, or the effect maybe had on you. But there's no accomplishing anything in a video game. You know, the great city that you built, I know, you can save it the disk and go back. But I'm just saying, it's nothing in the real world that happened as a result of what you did in the video game.
You can't frame the finished puzzle.
Yeah. So that there's this, and that doesn't make it bad, but it just helps you put it in perspective, I guess is what I would say. And it helps you give it the weight maybe that it should or shouldn't have. That's a thought I have on that. Yeah.
I would also guard against the notion that we sometimes get of, I've worked so hard all day, I deserve to plop in front of the TV.
Yeah.
Or I deserve to play this game, or I deserve, when we don't.
Yeah, we deserve nothing.
Yeah. So we kind of get into that, they can turn into laziness or self whatever.
Yeah, the McDonald's ad people. You deserve a break today, right?
Yeah.
Go to McDonald's and have your break. Yeah, yeah, that is a pitfall. I agree with that. Other thoughts on video games? Yeah, Natalie.
That's kind of tied in with just like TV time to some degree, but we're talking about time limits and things like that, and that's something that I've been kind of thinking about with Zoe, especially looking forward to being home a little bit more to have more control over that. I've seen some people who kind of tying into their allowance or whatever they earn, they can earn like those ride tickets, and they each represent a certain amount of time that can be used for video games or TV. So then they're learning, they have to, you know, like decide, do they want to spend that now or do they want to save it so they can watch a movie at the end of the week or weekend or something like that. And that's something that I'm thinking about doing with Zoe. I haven't figured out exactly when would be an appropriate age to start that with her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that I'm thinking about. And I mean, I definitely, you know, I have teaching experience, so the kids that I've taught come in and they talk about the games that they play, and that's all they do when they get home. They barely get their homework done, if they get their homework done.
Uh-huh.
And it's because they're watching TV or playing video games, or
yeah.
A lot of them play sports too, but it's still, I mean, video games and TV take up the majority of their time, you know. And so I definitely think that's way too much time. And I think they're, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of ultraviolet games very much, and that's just because I don't,
yeah.
I just don't like that. But, you know, there are definitely games. One of my favorites was Dance Dance Revolution when I was younger. And it's you have this pad that you hook up, kind of is your controller, and they have songs that come on and you dance to those songs.
Okay.
Like prescribed dancing. So it's kind of like Guitar Hero or something like that.
Uh-huh.
You have like specific things that you have to step on or push or whatever.
Okay.
That was one of my favorites. So, you know, I considered that my exercise for a little while. I was sweating by the end of it. But, you know, that was one of my favorites. So there are a lot of things that are really fun, but I also grew up with a brother who was extremely addicted to video games and computer games and things like that. And so it was very...
Yeah, and some, you know, we did that at times, kind of what you were talking about a little while earlier was the structuring, the formal structuring of how much time you get versus incentive. And that's almost a little bit like what Martin was describing, and maybe more formal in terms of you might earn points or dollars or whatever, but instead of just get your work done and play later. Either way works. I mean, it depends on how you like to manage as a parent and how much you want to micromanage some of that stuff. Kind of up to you. Yeah.
For my kids, it's so easy to just be like, oh, just go watch that and I'll do this over here, you know?
Yeah.
And so, if I think for me, that would be helpful just in saying, okay, I have to structure in more of a structure for myself so that I can, you know,
yeah.
Watch what they're doing.
And you know, that's what you, those are the kind of things you factor in. Well, what are my limitations personally? What do I experience is helpful? And then you have to figure out your kids too, because sometimes you get a kid that really flourishes under a certain kind of arrangement, and then you get ones that it sends them to their doom and destruction by putting them under the same arrangement. It's funny how kids are so different. And you know, I'm sure you would say this. I've said it, even a few kids, we just raised four of them, but every kid is so different than the next one. Yeah, there's common themes and there are similarities that pop up, but just every kid is so different. And so you have to kind of make all those decisions as well in terms of what you're going to allow and not allow, how you structure things and so forth. So, yeah. Sarah, you look like you had your hand up.
This video game, well, the thing that I struggle with is, like, it does almost seem more like a guy-girl thing. Like, girls seem to not want to do video games and they want to talk and share. But I have to realize that for some reason, guys just seem to connect over video games. Like, I cannot tell you how many times we've gone to the Deans and the guys are all playing football together.
Yeah.
But, like, through that time, like, they're joking and sharing and bonding.
Uh-huh.
And so it's kind of something that I've had to just, okay, if I can't, I'll just sit and talk about other stuff. But I don't want to do that. I want to sit and play video games and stuff.
Yeah, that's...
That's what they do, and I get the desk job, and... That's how they're connecting, and I'm sure, like, I mean, the boys that play video games right now, we struggle more with TV and stuff like that.
But, yeah.
And I'm hope, like, I don't really want them to do a lot of video games. I'd rather them go play football outside, but I do see there are ways that video games can connect people, and so.
Yeah. And it's been my observation what you're saying about boys versus girls, but then, I gotta tell you, I got some granddaughters. And when they come for Christmas time and everybody else is out socializing, and they go off by themselves on the couch and they're sitting there with their little Pokemon or whatever. I don't know what the games are.
Like younger generation now, girls a lot
more. I'm seeing a lot of that with them.
Yeah.
So that's why I hesitate to say, well, boys like video games and girls don't. That was my experience as a younger person.
Nowadays,
so that could be changing too. Yeah, Lindabeth.
I've been to a lot of different families and seen video games a part of people's lives or not. And I think the biggest issue that I have with video games is it seems like it's either non-existent in the home or it's completely unlimited. I've seen multiple times family after family be so fed up with the kid being on the couch all day Saturday, they put down this hard rule or put down even just little things like Natalie was mentioning, and they do great for 2 weeks, maybe even a month. But I have never seen a parent actually carry it out long term, and I've never seen a kid that wants to play video games not get so into it. They don't have a sense of time. They sometimes just feel like, wow, it's been 2 hours? I didn't even know that. Well, in this day and age, work doesn't come first. And the hard thing for me is I'd rather be in that category of, sorry, Brian, you don't ever get it, but that's not really, that's not the heart of the issue either. And so I might say no as a child for him, and then he grows up and gets his own gaming system, and he never learned the hard lesson of, you know, the self-control behind it.
Yes.
And they're gearing so many of these games for adults now. I think it's because kids never grew up, but they're trying to help adults have fun or relax in a different way.
Right.
But then there really is no such thing as work before play, in a sense, because if you've got kids, you've got to be able to stop at any second and help that kid, or hopefully they are in bed if you want to have your time, and you have to talk to your wife about, can I have this half hour or whatever. I mean, it's just, I'm not seeing a whole lot of benefit of it. But on the flip side, Aaron and I have been talking about this over the last month, and apparently there are some, like, scientific benefits. Like, you might be able to be a lot more observant. They've done tests on that, from where Aaron might be a lot more observant about things that I didn't even notice, or
right.
Your reflex can be a little bit faster. So they're showing there's actually some good to these games, but
they're desperately researching the science.
Yeah, I don't know. you're right. There's nothing wrong with them. Nothing wrong with reading, and nothing wrong with, you know, working, but any of that out of moderation is not wise. And
right.
So I've never seen that in moderation. That's why I'm more of an anti than pro.
And even for me, like winding down for bed every night, like, I could easily spend 45 minutes looking at Pinterest, and I'm thinking in my head, Sarah, go to bed. Like, it is so late, and I'm still just... it's hard to practice that moderation.
We're so geared to thinking, is this sin or is this not sin? Oh, if it's not sin, then hey,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
When even if it's good, yeah, it needs to be in moderation, and
well,
it needs to have some benefit to it. You know, if there's no
thought,
benefit, not even eye-hand coordination, if it's just completely just a time waster, then don't waste
time. Aaron said he, when his friends came over, they would do video games. And now even as adults, when his buddy comes into town, what do they need to do? Video games. Or if he wants to hang out with some of the guys at the church, he almost is dependent on that as an awkward buffer, and so every once in a while they can laugh and talk, but like, he doesn't know how to have a normal conversation, because his whole life he was raised, guys don't sit down and talk or play and build blocks.
Mm.
They play, you know, or watch TV. So again, there's nothing wrong with it, but just when it's extreme, it's ugly.
Yeah,
is there something better?
Right.
May not be wrong, but is there something better to do with your time?
Right. And that's why, you know, you'll hear me talking about balance all the time. It's the same idea as moderation, balance, moderation. I don't want to, you know, paint these things as totally bad, because there are areas of liberty, there are areas where people enjoy it, there are even areas where people have some benefit. But then again, you know, they're the extremes where it's a time waster, or it takes people into pornography, or whatever kinds of things that come out of these things. So I just like to try to lay everything out on the table and say, listen, this is what we're dealing with here, and try to be balanced about it. And you know, you might not have seen much of it, and that's, I can understand that. Although I have seen, I mean, in our family, we had kids that played video games, but they didn't do it all the time. They did their work first, and it wasn't totally about video games. But they still love them. Josh, to this day, my youngest son, as an adult, a married adult with a baby, he has one night a week. They call it guys' night. And they go over, that's where they do all the virtual reality and all the crazy stuff that they do with all their video games. And, you know, just like his wife has a time when she goes and does something on her night or whatever. You know, they divvy that all up. She doesn't spend hers playing video games, obviously, but she goes to Bible studies or something. But, you know,
he kind of made this agreement, which is on family, it's all in balance. not taking away any other responsibility or people.
Yeah, and you know, if you look at his life, I would say, you know, you couldn't make an argument that Josh was neglecting his family in any way by having a night of the week he gets with his old buddies and plays video games.
We're just saying there's a danger in it, but he.
But there is a danger, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a fire or anything else.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I've noticed too, like there's three or four games on my phone that I love to play, and anytime I'm, you know, in waiting in for somebody or in line, or you know how we all stand in line. And
yeah, yeah.
But you're missing interacting with strangers.
Yeah.
You're missing even in like, oh well, I've got 10 minutes. I don't have time to do anything else. I'll do that. I could be praying for somebody. Instead of on the phone playing games.
Yeah.
But it so we do have to be careful because it's just fun.
Yeah, I think that about phones in general. Yeah, everybody gets on an elevator, what happens? Oh. Everybody in the elevator, you know, got the phone out, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and we used to have awkward conversations on the elevator. I miss those. Just kidding. but you're right. There's a loss there. I mean, there really is. You know, I've known people tried to, you know, witness somebody every time he gets on the elevator. That's pretty crazy too. But you know, hey, so it just depends on how you think about things. But there's room for liberty here. There's room for different degrees of things. But at some point or another, we all have to kind of come to a point of balance. Otherwise, we're going to have problems, big problems. Yeah. What's that?
It's 11 o'clock.
It's 11 o'clock.
Oh, holy. Okay. Sorry. Woo, man. Where did time go? Thank you for, Father. Thank you for this time and just for this good discussion and just pray that you would give us wisdom in these things. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. I really apologize. I had no idea.